I don't want to break into this.
I love the Chad Winwell berries.
It's too good. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Lefnitz, Wendy Snyder. This is the Wednesday edition of our show. We're thrilled that you're listening. You can participate by calling us or texting us at 312-981-7200. What made you choose this?
I don't know. Jasmine was in the studio helping us, and she said, you're going to have to play some music. So I went to the hotkeys computer, looked at music bumps, and I was looking through them. I was going to play Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Wouldn't have been a bad choice.
I love the Traveling Wilburys.
Did I read that Roy Orbison is coming out with a new album?
Is that true?
Posthumously,
of course.
Yeah, yeah, way posthumously.
Yeah.
I don't know if I dreamed it or what, but I swear.
Well, a lot of times what happens with performers who've been doing it for, or had been doing it for decades and decades, is there's a bunch of stuff they just kind of, they have on tape, but they don't release it for whatever reason, and it amasses, and they have so much of it, and somebody goes, we should do something with it. I hope that's the case, Steve. I would love for that to be true.
Yeah. Well, he's performing as a hologram.
Oh, is he?
We don't need that. I know what he looks like. I don't need to see the hologram.
If he was better looking, would that be better for you? Or
no, I loved him.
I've never been to one of these hologram shows. I've heard about them.
Unchained Melodies is the new album out now, by the way.
Oh, it's available now.
Yeah, okay. I'm looking at a headline from a Southern newspaper. Roy Orbison may be dead, but he's still playing Fort Myers Man Hall.
Oh.
With the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra.
And this is in holographic form.
Boy, I don't want that.
The orchestra is alive, right?
Yeah, they're, yeah.
No, they're all holograms.
That'd be a lot of holograms.
It's like the Hall of Presidents.
The holograms.
But how convincing is it? Do you actually sit there, and is it so three-dimensional, so realistic, that for a moment you go, it's just like he's there?
Until he throws his bra at you.
That ruins it.
Well, and the bra comes, and you know that's real, so then it's very confusing.
that would be strange.
Wait, the fans are supposed to throw their undergarments at the
Roy
person
liked it
else.
The other way around.
Roy was different.
Yeah.
I guess.
I got to see one of these at some point.
You've never seen. Remember
I've
Nat
seen
King Cole
TV.
And Natalie Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they didn't hologram Nat, did they?
Mm,
they just did the
did
duet,
they?
Did they?
Well, they had visions of him in the video.
They right. could do both of them now.
Right.
So it's an actual concert where you see the hologram happening?
They've done it with Elvis Presley. Who else did they do it with? Amy Winehouse, they did it with.
Didn't they do it with Prince at an award show?
I think
or something,
they did.
And people were really upset?
Yeah, I think they did. Because it's. It's kind of cool, but
no.
It's still...
Michael Jackson did a whole tour, didn't he?
As a hologram?
I thought
did
so.
Did he? Yeah? I don't know. It's probably... Of course, after he died, right? Yeah. Why would you do it while you were alive? I just don't feel like going to it.
Well, that's the lazy way out. Right. I don't feel like, you know, performing right. tonight.
Right, there's right. the hook, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or two concerts in one night, make double the money.
Oh, right. Yeah, you could do that.
Elton John's farewell tour, he's sitting in Bucktown or whatever that is in Buckhead right. in Atlanta.
And yeah, and just not actually performing.
Performing tonight in Syracuse.
Yeah, it might still be entertaining. I have to tell you something. Now, Steve, you weren't part of this because you were doing the Wintrust business lunch yesterday. But during our bonus hour, our online hour, Judy Pilak told us a story. I don't even know if you remember this. She was telling us about a woman, she said in Norway, but it's not in Norway. It's in Kazakhstan, actually, who was tragically killed by ice falling from a building. And she said to me, she goes, have you seen the video footage of this? And I had not. And I said, no. And then part of me, you know how you and
You're
I have discussed
curious.
This before? You know something's going to be disturbing. So you challenge yourself. You go, do I want to see this? Do I not want to see this? So all day yesterday, I'm going back and forth because I think the story is interesting. And I'll tell you why in a moment. So this morning, I finally gave into it. I said, I'm going to see this. I looked up Norway woman ice. Well, nothing happened in Norway. It was in Kazakhstan. So 45 minutes later, I find the video and I watch it. And it's just it's exactly what you would imagine. It's a woman just minding her own business, walking down a street in a city. And this giant, giant piece of ice falls off of a building and just takes her out. And it's all on video. You see it on video. And the reaction to people around her is really the most interesting part of this, because some people just go about their business as though nothing happened. There's a woman next to her that as this thing falls on her and crushes her, the woman looks over, almost looks bothered by it, like, ugh, now I need this, you know, and then she keeps walking. there's a man who must be across the street or something who comes running over with his hands over his, you know how in cartoons when people are upset and their arms are over their bodies
with
and they're
fists,
just shaking them? So he's doing that, trying to find, you know, some semblance of reasoning in all of this, that a woman could be taken out by ICE. It's real. It's so interesting to watch, but it's, I'm telling you, it's harsh because it's just, it's a woman, she turns out to be 60 years old, just walking down a street, and through no fault of her own, ICE comes in and kills her, right? The reason I bring this up is those signs are now posted outside of this building. As you approach this building, and I noticed them yesterday, but I really noticed them today after watching this video this morning.
They're out every year.
There's signs that say falling ICE, but there's nothing you can do.
Well, I noticed the stuff falling yesterday.
Did you see
and
stuff falling from our building?
Water coming straight down and things like that, yeah.
Yeah, I was noticing that, too. We were in a parking lot, and a big chunk of ice fell off of one of the light posts, you know, those giant light posts in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's weird. I got to be careful when I go back downtown.
Yeah.
Because it's just, as things are starting to melt, a big clump just breaks loose and falls willy-nilly.
Is a building off the hook? If you get hit by giant ice that falls from a building, just because they've posted a sign that says falling ice, they're still, you can still blame them, right?
Of course.
Yeah, I would imagine.
There were, years ago, I thought something fell off the Hancock building.
And hit a car that was driving by,
well, there
right?
was some there, woman that was killed,
there was
too.
A woman down in the loop who was killed.
Yes.
By, I think it was a window blown out. Or
yes,
maybe it was
yes,
us,
that's
too.
What it was. How do you spell Kazakhstan?
N-O-R.
I did Norway, and it's not coming
it's
up.
It's the traditional way. It's K-A-Z-A-K-H-S-T-A-N. T-A-N.
Every time I find it, they stop the video. They don't show it.
Oh, yeah. When you see it, I mean, it all happens so fast. It's just a woman. She's walking normally, just down a street, just like we've all done a billion times in our lives.
Dum-da-dum-da-dum. Was she doing that?
She was saying dum-da-dum-da-dum. And then you just see this block of ice just fall and just, I mean, it hits her like in the neck and head, and it just knocks her down. And then from then on, they blur it. I don't know why they decided to show that part and then blur it. Because the disturbing part is when the ice hits her, but then as people are approaching her trying to figure out what to do now, she's blurred. But it's, I'm telling you, Wendy, you may not want to see this. This may not be
there's
for
a
you.
Big warning in front
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they stop it now. I haven't seen
in all the other videos.
Well, Daily Mail has it.
They stop
it. Oh, does Daily Mail have it? There's a couple of websites that I go to that show unedited footage.
And okay, I always, Mr. Faces
every
of
time,
Death.
Every time I'm on there, I look around to see if anyone knows I'm on. I'm like, is anyone watching me on this
Dirty
website?
Bird.
This
What's
is bad.
There is that crazy website. That's when I saw that beheading.
Out.
Do you remember when Kevin Richter was still with us?
Yes.
I thought it was a joke.
No.
I watched
legit.
It. I've never
A guy cut off his girlfriend's head.
Yeah.
Ooh, just saw it.
That's not good. That's a bad day.
I can't see anything anymore.
No, you're right.
I'm one of those sensitive
right.
viewers. I can't.
To bring this full circle, you need to wear those Roy Orbison glasses to filter out things like this, because this is not for the kids.
Can I just jump in with Mary? You saw Roy Orbison?
I did. I saw him at the Genesee Theater in Hologram about a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, in hologram form.
In hologram, it was fabulous.
Really?
Does it feel like he's really there, or the whole show, do you go, I'm watching a video trick?
He comes up out of the floor. There's a full orchestra behind him, and there's two women singing with him.
Did he get the town right?
Perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Great to be in Milwaukee.
I, as a matter of fact, I would go again and see him tomorrow in hologram.
Would you really?
I would, yes.
I was such a fan of his, and I loved his collaboration with Elvis Costello. Mystery Girl, I believe, was the album.
Yeah.
So good. I love the Traveling Wilburys, and I'm glad you got to see him, whether it's in real form or holographic form.
If you did not know that it was hologram, I wanted to go up and put my arms around him. It was that good.
Wow.
That would have been cool.
They perfected it to that extent. That's excellent.
Did he do any banter or just the songs, I would imagine?
No, most of what he did was it was singing, but he would turn to the orchestra and recognize the orchestra. And he would, you know, like put his hand out to the orchestra so you would clap for them. And then the two women that sang along with him. It was choreographed. It was fabulous.
And is the show a full-length show? Is it like a 90-minute show?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad it's so realistic and that you enjoyed it so much. That's great.
I loved it. I loved it, and like I said, I would go back tomorrow. If I could get tickets around here again, I'd go back and see it again tomorrow. I would highly recommend it.
All right.
Good to know.
Thank you.
If you love Dror Orbison, get tickets and go see it.
Hey, Mary, he didn't throw a bra at the audience, did he?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nope. No.
All right, love. You got the idea.
Thank you, Mary. We appreciate it. Let's take a quick break, and then we have someone on this very radio station that has been hit by ice. And
really?
He or she wants to talk to us.
All right.
Ice, baby. It can go right through you.
Why can't it?
And you saw it. You witnessed it on a video somewhere.
It's a woman in Kazakhstan, a city called Almaty, which is in Kazakhstan. She's 60 years old, and she's walking down a street, and then out of nowhere, well, I shouldn't say out of nowhere, out of the sky from atop a building comes this giant slab of ice that just levels the woman. It took her. I killed her. It's awful to watch.
Yeah, you watched it.
I did watch it.
All right. Well, there's someone on our WGN staff here who has been hit by falling ice. Beware, John Williams. Beware.
Hey, how are you?
John, we're good. What happened? Was this recent?
About 5 years ago.
So did you see the sign, beware of falling ice?
There was one, but, you know, like Steve said, what am I going to do? Look up and see the ice falling and... So I was just walking along somewhere between Union Station and the old the Tribune Tower, and the next thing I know, I was picking myself up off the ground.
It knocked you down.
Yeah, knocked my glasses off, scratched my face a little bit. Oh. It was this like giant waffle of ice, and so then I was like just kind of ticked. So I walked into the bank building where it was, and. They have the greeter there, you know, the banker whose turn it is to say, welcome to the bank.
Yeah.
And I said, I just got knocked down by some ice. And he looked at me like, well, you sure did. There's nothing he could have done about it or can do about it. I just wanted to be mad at somebody. And I kind of went back out and carried about my merry way. But I do watch those signs when they have those things. And I do look up to see if there's any ice falling.
Sean, I mentioned that when you watch this video of this woman in Kazakhstan, the reaction of people around her is all across the board. There's people who are upset that they had to witness this. There's other people that want to help and don't know what to do. Did anybody around you do or say anything to try to help you?
No, but, you know, mine was what it was, you know. It's like, oh, dude, that was weird, but you're okay. And so I just kind of hopped up and... You know, I was kind of embarrassed to be actually
Were you?
Honest with you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how stupid is that? You get hit by falling ice. It wasn't tragic like that other one, you know?
Right. Right,
isn't that terrible, though? Like, we look around to see who saw us, you know, either slip on ice right. or who cares?
Right. Well, you don't want Tom Bergeron making fun of you on network TV because you got hit by a slab of ice. No one wants that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Leslie Kiling, who used to do traffic at our station, kind of alerted me to that. She goes, pay attention to those signs. And she swears that one time she saw the sign, looked up, saw some ice falling, and stepped out of the way. But I get the feeling, don't you, that those are more just for legal reasons
yes.
so that
yep.
they can say...
But I don't think that means anything. I mean, if your loved one got killed with ice falling off a building,
yeah.
you wouldn't take them to task on it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
You got a serpentine. That's what you got to do to avoid the ice.
You walk perpendicular, so you stay. If the signs are there, you stay further out into the sidewalk.
I walk in the street.
Walk in the street?
I do. I really, I get, and then you don't know, should you walk farther away or should you walk closer to the building?
Right.
Because
right.
if you're closer to the building, you know, you'd think it would fall out a little bit.
I'm going to let you guys go, but it's funny. I'm just driving to work right now, and we just drove by a caution falling ice sign.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them around here in our neighborhood. Today on the show, by the way, I'm going to talk to an attorney about liability on your sidewalk and driveway
oh,
and stuff.
Good idea.
I heard the promo for it. I'll be listening for that.
Well, thank you. Have a good show, guys.
Thanks, John.
As
you, and you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's our friend John Williams. I'm sure you've had this on your house at some point where you look up and you see icicles that have formed that are so sharp and you say to yourself, boy, if those fell just the right way, or I guess just the wrong way, they could pierce somebody. They're that sharp.
I have a snow rake at home for my roof.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Because it would pile up.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a neighborhood cat that runs around, and I wouldn't mind if that icicle fell on that cat.
Those are different things, but okay.
Wow.
But now, how do you just knock them down? Because when the icicles are there, I just leave them, and then obviously you don't walk underneath them.
Yeah.
You have to be careful in knocking them down, because I had one that affixed to a screen once.
Oh. And you took the screen out, too?
Yeah, the whole screen came down.
We had, there's a portion of our house that is L-shaped. It's where an addition was put on in the 80s of this Victorian home.
Yeah.
And there's just an L-shape where this giant icicle formed. It was like, if I put my arms around, I couldn't.
That big?
It was humongous. And we didn't know what to do. And the air conditioner was right underneath it. So there was one day we were in the house and we hear like this sonic boom.
Yeah.
The icicle fell and just missed the air conditioner.
Oh, wow.
But
lucky.
Very
fortunate.
I don't know why that's never happened again. It was just a bad year.
Yeah.
But boy,
yeah.
That was scary. You didn't know what to do. Right. It's like, can't knock that sucker down.
Yeah. It's too big. All right. Let's do this.
Be careful out there.
Be careful. Good advice.
Serpentine.
Phil Esterhaus from Hill Street Blues. Just be careful out there.
Use the leaf blower to blow the air on it.
Yeah. That should work. A break. Steve's got some news for you. And then our friend Mike Toomey joins us. Stick around for that.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
What?
Nice of Steve to do the news.
It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it.
It was fun to listen to.
I appreciate
your
listening.
We have a special guest. Come on, get to it.
Mike Toomey is our special guest. Wendy, one of the best comics in the history of the planet Earth. Mike, is that too much pressure?
It's not too much pressure. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you sound great.
Nice to be with you guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
It is a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
You know, everybody says you're the funniest man ever, and I'm not saying I don't agree with that.
It's
but
okay if you don't.
I do agree with that, but everybody, like you ask so many comics.
Right.
Bill will talk to a comic off the air, your name comes up, and everyone's like, oh my God, he's the funniest ever.
But what are they going to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't say horrible things usually.
Are you kidding? Have you been on the internet?
Well, there, yeah, of course.
The internet was created, Mike, as a place for people to say awful things about people.
To go out of their way to say mean things.
Right.
I find that's what motivates people more than anything else.
Yes.
If you see something and you think it's okay or you like it, you don't see anything.
That's true.
But
that's very true.
If you don't like something, then, where's my keyboard? For God's sakes, I hate it.
But after all these years of doing stand-up, have you still had nights where you look out at the audience and they don't agree that you're the funniest person they've ever seen or heard?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to give you a compliment. I was watching the WGN-TV Morning News Primetime Special. I enjoyed it thoroughly, and I loved your Batman of the People.
It was a parody of Pat Tomasulo's show?
It was great.
The hardest and the part that I appreciate the most out of that was that we were able to do that without Pat knowing.
You know,
my greatest achievement in that whole production was making sure that he had no clue we were in there. Because, you know, we had to do everything that he does to, you know, turn the lights on, get the stagehands, and make it run.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
But thank you, Wendy.
And every morning, WGN-TV Morning News is on in our house. That's what the puppy watches. It's on, like, all day. So I go in
and
out of it.
That's a huge demo.
Oh, totally.
Puppies love it.
And I watched the primetime special. I actually DVR'd it because I didn't want to miss it. And every time I look at Paul Conrad now, I can't help but thinking of his hairy chest in a bubble bath eating an onion with mustard on it.
Oh. Cutting up lettuce and throwing it in the tub.
Oh, my God.
Now, Mike, sadly, we don't have a puppy. We have a panda bear, and he watches Good Morning America, but I hear good things about your show.
If you read my blogs, you know how much I hate pandas anyway.
I know you do. I've never come across anybody who hates them the way you hate them.
Blogging about how much I hate pandas.
What's with that? Where did that start?
They're not funny.
To be honest with you, Mike's right. They're not.
You know, the only pandas I ever laughed at were the cartoon ones on the Brady Bunch.
Mop Top and Ping and Pong the pandas.
Ping and Pong the pandas.
All right, you two really need to get lunch somewhere.
Don't be mad at us because we know important stuff, Wendy.
No, I'm not mad at you. I'm envious.
Baited him, that's all. I just baited him.
And I appreciate that. Mike, it's always fun to talk to you, but especially at holiday time because you do something that I love. You go back and you do a holiday Christmas special, much like we all grew up with on television.
Sure.
What was the impetus for this? Why'd you start doing this?
We started doing it 6 years ago. There's a place in Racine, Wisconsin, Sturtevant, actually, where we do the show. And it just caught on the first year. We just did our sixth one last weekend, and we have two coming up in the area this weekend, one in St. Charles and one in Evanston.
The Friday show is in St. Charles, as you said, at Club Arcata.
Yes.
That's above the Arcata Theater.
Yeah.
Correct. And it's a, if you've ever been up in that space, it's beautiful. It's an old speakeasy themed room. It's just
nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Nice. There. And then on Saturday, you're going to be in my hometown of Evanston at Bourbon and Bass. Is that correct?
Bourbon and Brass.
Bourbon and, oh, it says Bass on my sheet, Mike.
Well, that's the pro shop. That thing, where it's like right next door. Like you see our show, Bourbon and Brass, and then you go to Bourbon and Bass, and you can get like fishing accessories.
$10 off on night crawlers if you see Mike's show. That's a pretty good deal.
Camouflage pants. You know, it's just they have all that stuff after the show. We'll have a reduced rate on some.
That's excellent. That's
Christmas
fantastic.
Themed camo pants.
I just wore camo pants yesterday, so I'm not laughing at that joke.
No, it's not funny for all of us.
Christmas themed camel pants is the name of my new album.
I love it.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of the holidays, a little bit of hunting.
What elements from the old TV shows, Mike, do you bring forward in your holiday special?
Well, what we have now, we have comedy and we have music. You know, those shows always had a lot of variety in them. And we have two different musical acts, one in St. Charles and one in Evanston. In St. Charles, we have a gentleman named Pete Sorensen who goes by Life Pete. If you've ever seen him, he's fantastic. He's like a throwback to the rockabilly days.
Oh, cool.
And, does really good, like the Brian Setzer style guitar rock and Christmas stuff.
Nice.
And in Evanston, we have John Vincent. You know John.
Yeah,
John, the great singer who...
Boy, can he sing.
Boy, can he ever. If you close his eyes, it's Sinatra's right there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So. He does a lot, for people who don't know, maybe you've heard the name, he does a lot of sporting events here in town. He'll sing the national anthem, and he just belts it. He's so good.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Will anybody be in holographic form, Mike? We were just talking about holograms.
And Roy Orbison.
And Roy Orbison. Will anybody be in a holographic form?
Working on a Norman Fell hologram, where like in the middle of
Stanley.
The show, the hologram of Norman Fell comes out and misunderstands what we were saying earlier in the show.
That's a crowd pleaser.
And if that doesn't work, we're going to try the Mr. Furley. It's the same.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. So, Mike, when you would watch these holiday specials as a kid, how did they affect you? Did they just stick with you forever? Did you just say, this is what Christmas should be like? What I'm watching Pat Boone say and do, this is what holidays should be like.
Yep, and I almost wish that it would return, you know, because those Christmas shows, and not just those, but we touch on the other ones, like the claymation ones and the cartoon ones and stuff like that, they came on once a year.
Yeah.
And if you were not home that night,
yep,
you missed it. You had to wait a year to see it again. So that was kind of the beauty of that.
I can't tell you, Mike, how many times as a kid we'd be shopping, we'd be out Christmas shopping, and my brother or I would say to our parents, hey, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is on in 40 minutes, so whatever we were doing, we had to pack up and head home so we wouldn't miss it. You know?
And if you missed it, you know what they said? There's always tomorrow.
Yeah, there's always tomorrow.
There's always tomorrow.
Oh, look at me. I promised myself I wouldn't cry, and here I go.
There's a guy here who at the station here who legitimately cries when he hears that song.
Really?
Man.
Really?
Yep.
Is
we
it Dean Richards?
One time. No, it's not Dean. We played it for him on the air and did like a little box where his face. And
he cried?
We made him cry.
Oh. That's beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
That's so beautiful. Yeah.
Do you have any other special guests that will be appearing on stage with you at either of these venues?
I do. The one and only Jeff Hoover will be at both of the shows.
That's a good time.
Who, when Jeff and I get together, it's always fun and it's always crazy.
Unpredictable.
Jeff, hilarious.
Yeah.
Scott May, the keyboardist of the Ides of March, will be on stage the whole show, sort of doing the Paul Schaefer role.
Yeah.
And my friend Kevin McDougall from Wisconsin will join us as well.
It's a pretty good show,
so,
Mike.
It's a great show. Yeah. It's so much fun.
Boy, tickets, if they're under $1,000, people are ripping you off.
I feel that. I feel so.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
But you know what else I believe?
What's this?
I believe it all started with the snow.
Thank you, Mike Durante.
That will be a part of that one. When the first snow of the year is a Christmas snow, something wonderful is about to happen.
Now, when I see a snowman for the first time every year, Mike, here's what I say to myself. Happy birthday.
Right.
Yeah,
well, you have to
I can't help it.
You guys know we're on the air, right?
Oh, we're on the air now?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So this is Friday night at Club Arcata in St. Charles.
Yes.
And then Saturday night, the Mike Toomey Christmas special, will head over to Bourbon and Brass,
which is
on Church Street in Evanston.
And the number that you call is the same for either show. It's 630-962-7000.
Mike, you have picked up where Andy Williams left off.
Well, I built.
You have.
Come on, I don't know.
Will Claudine Lungier be on either of the two shows?
Well, depends if we have the skiing.
Love
segment.
To see her.
Wow. In handcuffs.
Wow. Yeah. What a way to finish. That's great. Mike, good luck with both.
Wait,
yeah?
No, we probably won't.
No, you probably won't.
Will you be wearing a sweater at any point?
You better believe it.
Okay,
so that's the other thing I wanted to say. Huh. We encourage anybody who comes to wear the craziest, outrageous Christmas sweater to kind of, because, I get a new one every year, and the one I have this year is fantastic.
Oh, excellent.
So. It kills me. In the old days, you used to have to go to thrift stores, Goodwill, Salvation Army, somewhere along those lines to find these old sweaters. And now, like, all
They're
the department
everywhere.
Stores have these hideous sweaters.
Yeah, yep. They make them for that reason and charge a lot of money.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I hope yours is beautiful.
It's lovely.
And your holiday, too.
Yeah. Oh,
and to you. Thank you.
Mike, thanks for being on, and good luck with both the shows. It's Friday and Saturday night. Let's give that phone number out again. It's 630-962-7000. If you haven't seen Mike Toomey, you got to go see him. If you've seen him before, you know how great he can be, so go see him again. It's well worth it. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, you guys.
Take care.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I love that guy.
It's Mike Toomey. That's who that is. We have a tremendous giveaway when we return. Uncle Julio's was kind enough to give us $100 gift certificates. You got to work for it just a little bit. Wendy, what is your idea?
Well, they are celebrating the Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls. They're handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork or sauteed pulled chicken to revitalize your day.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps let's open up the phone lines at 312-981-7200. Who would you like to have lunch with? Say we give you the $100 gift card, living or dead, and try the most creative.
Yeah,
is that how we'll do it?
Most creative wins. Right.
So it could be a hologram.
It could be. Yes,
right?
Steve, it could be a hologram if
is
you want.
Is that your answer, Bertrand?
Well, I'd have to pick who the hologram would be.
Oh.
I think a hologram of Bill would be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
The real Bill would be more fun and easier to set you
know.
Up with.
Couldn't control the conversation as much.
Right.
Who's going to take the time to make a hologram of Bill who's
Don't
here?
Say that.
Well, you're already here. You in the flesh is way better.
Oh, you think so? Oh, thank you.
All right. That's well, 312-981-7200. Who would you have lunch with at Uncle Julio's if you could, living or dead? Most creative wins.
Mm-hmm. Call now.
Feliz Navidad.
And to you, Wendy.
All right. Uncle Julio's has been gracious enough to give us a $100 gift card from Uncle Julio's, as I mentioned, made from scratch Mexican. You can try Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork or sauteed pulled chicken to revitalize your day. So we thought it would be interesting to see who you would have lunch with, living or dead, if you could go to Uncle Julio's with them. I know John Williams would pick
Thomas Jefferson,
yes.
Probably. And why not?
To see if his Thomas Jefferson is anywhere near the real Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. Our judging criteria is just whoever selects the person most interesting. Is that how we're judging?
And the reason why.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was trying to decide who you would pick, and I...
Oh, that's a good question.
Like Don Rickles, you met him, but you'd kind of like to have lunch with him so you could talk to him.
That would be fun.
But then I would think you'd want to have lunch with Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, or Freddie Prinze.
Oh, all those would be, any of those would be great.
You have to pick one. Or Dick Gaudier.
Oh, then Dick Gaudier. For sure. He was Jaime the Robot on Get Smart. We could talk about that for hours.
I know.
I would love for that to be.
All right. Who do you want to start with, Bill?
I'm curious about Chuck. That's the name of my ABC After School special. I'm curious about Chuck.
Starring Lance Kerwin.
Yeah, he's in it. He's going to be great in it.
Chuck, what's going on?
Hi, Bill and Wendy. Love you guys.
Thanks, Chuck. Who would you have? You can go out with anybody for lunch. Who would it be?
Well, it would be my 87-year-old mother who still cooks a full Thanksgiving dinner, turkey, ham, all the trimmings. But I'd like to bring one other special guest with.
Who would that be?
Charo.
Charo and your mom.
Right.
You'd have to explain what coochie coochie means to your mom. Would that be all right?
It would. would be a blast.
That would be fun. All right. Mom and Charo, Wendy.
All right. Well, Charo might have just tipped it in. I don't know, because this was very sweet, Chuck. All right. Hang on. We'll see what the judges
That's
say.
A fun combination.
Kathleen, who would you bring to lunch at Uncle Julio's?
I would bring Abe Lincoln, because if you
Abe.
Think of where we're at in our history,
yeah,
and the divisiveness of the country and trying to, you know, unify it so we can move forward.
Yes.
If you look at the Civil War and what he had to deal with, it's, you know, we all thought that the election would have one result,
yeah.
the last election, and it wasn't perhaps as pervasive as what we thought.
Right.
So, like, bring the issues to the table, figure out how to fix it, and then move forward in unity.
Wow.
Because right now, it looks like it's going to be the Senate against the House against,
yeah.
you know, whatever the next
Very
tweet is or whatever.
You'd have to
tell Abe
that Abe and I share the same birthday. You'd have to mention that.
Yeah, bring that up.
February 12th.
I would absolutely mention that. As a matter of fact, I'd ask Abe what he thinks your birthday gift should be.
Okay. All right. Hang on.
Good answer, Kathleen. Also, with Abe Lincoln, Wendy, you can put the leftovers in his hat and keep them nice and warm. He's got a heating unit in his hat. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah.
Kim, who would you have lunch with?
Well, Bill and Wendy, I'm so excited to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Kim.
I would have lunch with the two of you
because
I already do it every day of the week.
Aww.
They're usually during the bonus hour.
That's so nice.
So it would be nice to do it in person.
Not as stimulating a conversation as with Abe Lincoln or with Charles.
Well, on your part, maybe,
but I
would give you something to talk about.
All right.
But you guys cracked me up every day, so it would be great to do it in person.
Kim, thank you.
Well, thank you, Kim.
I know a lot of people would look at that as sucking up, Wendy, but I'm fine with that. I think there should be more sucking up.
I think the bonus hour comment went too far.
Is that too much?
All right. Is this Claire?
Yes, it is.
Hi,
How
Claire. Who would you have lunch with if we gave you a $100 gift card to
Living
Uncle Orbit?
Well, let me agree with them. You people are such a blessing to me. I look forward to your show. You keep me laughing amongst everything going on today.
Aww.
I would have lunch with Jesus. I would go right to the top. And his one great title of many is Prince of Peace.
Yes.
And as much as I would love the lunch for me and enjoy it, I would have him share it maybe with another world leader and sit down and actually get some divine guidance on what to do.
Wow.
And God bless you guys, really. I sure appreciate your
Thank
show.
Thank you, Claire. That's so nice, Claire.
Thank you, Claire.
Wow.
Thank you.
Tortilla with Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Jesus, as I guess we should call him.
In this particular
Yes. I would love his wisdom, his divine wisdom on what to do. Nothing's working because we're doing it as human beings. We need divine guidance.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
Well, hang on a second. How do we judge this?
These are all across the board, Wendy. I don't know.
I say we put a number and just randomly choose
it. Do I do it that way? All right. That seems fair. All right. So we'll do it according to the numbers according to how they called in.
Yeah, so
we had Chuck who said his mother, and then in brackets, and Charo. Then the second one was it Kathleen who was second with Abe Lincoln?
I'm just putting them, yes, Kathleen
was
said
Abe Lincoln.
Lincoln.
Kim said you and me, and then our last one, Claire, said Jesus, who loved Mexican food, by the way.
How
you know
do you know that?
Yeah. Because I have a rare, it's a painting of him enjoying a fajita.
Yeah, but not the chimichanga, because see, that was a perversion of the cuisine.
Right, that's true. That's so true.
A chimichanga.
Yeah.
Yeah, no can do.
Yeah.
I pegged him as more of a fajita guy.
Yeah, he loved fajitas.
All right,
the
there
shrimp
are four
fajitas.
Of these.
All right.
Just so listeners know, I actually
I see all
did
four.
It. And you
and
get,
I'm
going to
pick
one.
I can't see the numbers. I'll just pick this one, Wendy.
Okay, you read it on the air, and I'll...
The winner, who now must bring both his mother and Charo to Uncle Julio's, is Chuck.
Chuck, you're going to Uncle Julio's.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll tape it for you guys. This will be an interesting lunch.
Congratulations,
you
Chuck.
You better bring your mom, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yes. Yes.
All right.
I will send you pictures.
Perfect. Right. $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's, made from scratch Mexican. You can try Uncle Julio's. I completely
you got excited.
I did.
It's exciting.
You can try Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork or sauteed pulled chicken to revitalize your day. I believe we may revisit this tomorrow.
Oh, okay, good.
So if you didn't get a chance to win, we'll be there for you. Congratulations are in order to Chuck, his mom, and Charo.
Yep. Did you think when you woke up this morning you'd ever say that?
No, I did not think that.
We've got news coming your way next, and then Dr. John Duffy joins us. Dr. John Duffy joins us right now, clinical psychologist, our show's psychologist.
Yeah, we need him. Oh. Roll in the couch.
Now more than ever. John, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
John, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I watch The View pretty much every day. I love The View.
You and the other day, still do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The other day, Meghan McCain, one of the panelists on The View, said, after they all went around the table and all the women talked about how great their holiday had been, being Thanksgiving.
Sure.
She said, I got to be honest with you. She goes, I have to say this. My Thanksgiving sucked. She goes, I've had a rough year. She lost her father, Senator John McCain.
Right.
And she said, for those of you who think that the holidays are always a great time of merriment and happiness, it's not always that way. My holiday was awful, and I think that's okay to talk about that and say that. And it is, isn't it?
I think it's important to talk about that and say that instead of having this expectation, because there is this kind of like almost bipolar nature to this season where you get about two-thirds of people who are super excited and decorate every inch of their house and talk about it for weeks or months even and have family over and friends over and parties. And then there's this segment that's, I think, close to a third of our population that has either experienced a loss like Meghan McCain did in this past year or a loss around the holidays and there's this anniversary around that loss, or they lost a job, or they're just down a lot of the time. And when you're leaning toward depression in your life, the holidays amplify that in a way I can hardly describe. You know, like, so if I'm working with somebody over the course of a year who leans toward depression, the holidays, just because everybody else seems to be having such a great time, make it really difficult for people who are not.
I went out with a couple of high school friends last night, and the three of them lost their fathers within 2 weeks of one another a few months back. But this is the first Thanksgiving without their fathers.
Yeah.
And their moms have been so strong through everything except on Thanksgiving. It hit them. All the moms, like, at that point, it's like, wow, this is the first Thanksgiving without my significant other.
Yeah.
So holidays just tug on your heartstrings.
Right. Well, there's the empty chair syndrome, right? There's that idea, you know, the rest of the year you can kind of convince yourself like, oh, we can go along business as usual, and gradually we can kind of assimilate the loss. But when it comes to Thanksgiving or it comes to Christmas, it just is stark, you know? And I happen myself to have had two losses in my family around the holidays.
Yeah.
So I can relate to this directly because there's always this tinge of like, somebody actually is missing, so it feels a little funky. And I can find it in myself to, like, you know, bring the joy and, you know, and celebrate their lives. But it's been almost 20 years, you know what I mean? For somebody who lost their significant other in the past year or two or three, I think that's really, really a lot to ask.
But it's safe to tell people listening right now that that pain does go away. It's like that hole in your heart fills with goofy stories and funny memories, but it's there for a while.
Yeah, it's definitely there for a while. And what we have this tendency to do when we lose somebody is we focus on the loss, those last few days, weeks, months, and it's hard not to do that, to think about like, oh, died too young and tragically, and you forget the 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 years preceding that.
Right.
But once you can start bringing those memories back organically and telling funny stories, even if you're crying and laughing at the same time, which I notice a lot of people do.
Now that, you guys know what PMS is, by the way. Because when you cry and laugh at the same time, that's what women go through.
Wow, that's what that feels
yes.
like. I'm so sorry, Wendy.
PXMAS. It's a new version of PMS.
What is it?
PXMAS. It's like PMS. You know, for so many of us, did you call it empty chair syndrome? Is that how you referred to it?
Yeah.
I totally get that because Christmas Eve is always my favorite night of the year. And to look over to where my mom used to be as we were all exchanging gifts and her not being there, it would just grab you.
It's just brutal, isn't it?
Yeah. But to your point, Wendy, as time went on, the surprise wasn't there. You know, that first year or two or three,
it
was so new.
Yeah.
And it's always bad, but you're more accepting of it, right, as time goes on?
As time goes on, it definitely gets better. It doesn't get perfect, but it goes from being awful, like it sucks, to bittersweet, and you can find the joy in the memories, and that makes the healing process so much better than it does in the first year or two. So anybody who suffered a loss in the past year, just know that this does get better over time. It doesn't get perfect, and the loss is real, and you'll probably want to honor that. But oftentimes in my family, we honor it with a funny story. You know what I mean? Something really, really funny that happened in the last year or 20 years ago that reminds us of the person we lost.
All right. So it's easy to understand how somebody could be a little down during the holidays when they've lost somebody. But a lot of the depression, a lot of the sadness goes beyond that. For a lot of people, it doesn't have anything to do with losing anybody, does it?
No, some people just have a tendency toward anxiety, depression. Loneliness, I think, is probably the symptom I come across in December more than anything else. And and it's amplified by the fact that nobody else seems lonely. And in the age of social media, fewer people seem lonely. And so you feel very much like, wow, I really am the only one who doesn't have the plan, isn't invited to the party, doesn't have the big family event coming up. And so that loneliness kind of creates an element of hopelessness for some people.
Isn't it more perception than reality, though? You assume because social media is so important and people are connecting that way. But in reality, it's not that way.
It's definitely not that way. I think when you're in a lonely state of mind, you get this kind of almost brain fog that tells you what you're seeing in social media is reality.
Yeah.
And so what I encourage people to do in situations like that, if you know somebody who isn't just sitting in the corner of the party, but simply isn't invited to the party for whatever reason, to find those people, seek them out, and reach out to them and say something, you know? Yeah.
What's a perfect thing to say?
Yeah.
Or close to perfect.
So I've asked people who experience this symptom, you know, like, so, you know, a lot of us feel like we are going to say the wrong thing. And what I get in the resounding answer is, say something. I don't care if you say the wrong thing. Tell me you have no idea what to say to me. I would rather hear that than have you walk away from me walking down the street or in the grocery store. But usually it would be just like you would talk to anybody else. Just like, hey, how's it going? You know, and not necessarily anything about the season or anything like that. Just a check in, you know, hey, I've been thinking about you. How you doing? You know, and they very clearly say, don't do this via text, don't do this via email of all things, but actually, you know, come to my door or stop me on the street, seek me out.
And there's nothing wrong with throwing a compliment. Hey, I love that shirt, is incredible.
Yes.
Where'd you get that shirt?
Yeah.
Something like that.
You say that to me and I know you're lying.
Where did you get that shirt?
I'm not wearing a shirt.
What? Can that be? But just the interaction, the key to this is the interaction, is to don't leave that person out in the cold. It's obvious that person is struggling right now and by themselves. Jump in.
But what
if
you don't want to invite them over? And I'm not saying that meanly, just sometimes you aren't able to do it. Maybe you're going out of town. So in a weird way, sometimes you're like, well, I'm not going to reach out because I can't do anything.
Yeah. And oftentimes, in fairness, they don't want to be invited over. They don't have the bandwidth for the party. So what they would say is, stop by, just knock on the door and say hi, or stop me on the street. You don't have to invite me to the thing. You know what I mean? Just let me know I'm on your mind, because, you know, that alone grounds me. You know what I mean? I know, like, okay, somebody out there is thinking of me. So this loneliness that I perceive is not reality necessarily, right?
Yeah.
But the presumption a lot of us make is, oh, they're independent and they're strong and they're fine and this is what they want. I don't know if that's ever really the case. I think most of us want to be acknowledged. They want somebody to look us in the eye. We all want this to some extent.
Right.
Yeah. And think about it. Every once in a while, I'll get a text from a friend I don't see very often, and it's just like, hey, was thinking about you. I passed something at the store that made me think of you. And then you have a little sparky conversation. It's like, oh, God, thanks for thinking of me. I was thinking of you. And some time can pass again, but it's nice to get those little texts and feelings of reassuring feelings. So,
especially this time of year, I think a lot of us like could need that and could really use that this time of year. Absolutely,
no doubt about it.
I'm thinking about you,
Wendy. That's a strange coincidence. There'll be more of us thinking about each other in just a little bit. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, we'll get that done. It's Bill Lefton, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Dr. John Duffy, clinical psychologist. We're talking about holiday depression. something a lot of people don't want to address, John, but it's certainly there. You said as many as 1 in 3 people suffer from this?
Yeah. The more I talk to people, the more I talk to other clinicians, it feels like that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a lot high number. Of
people. It is.
Wow.
It is.
Here's an interesting text. I'm a funeral director, and I always tell my clients that the last thing the deceased would want is for them to be unhappy. They'd want you to put up lights and have a happy holiday season, not experience complicated grief. I think that's probably true, right?
Undoubtedly true. And yet, among those of us who are survivors, there's a little bit of guilt affiliated with anything that smacks of joy,
Really?
But I think the funeral director makes a really, really good point that, you know, like... having worked with families who've lost someone in the not too distant past, that person who is passing away almost always says, I want you to enjoy your lives. Yeah. I don't want this to define the rest of your lives. I want you to have fun. I want you. And if that's part of honoring my memory, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was an interesting article on Huffington Post, and it was about someone who lost their father, and a friend walked up to the girl and said, I'm so sorry about your father. I lost my dad when I was 6 months old. I never knew him. And this person then says, you know, okay, you win the contest. Yeah, I had my dad for 30 years. Your story's worse. We kind of tend to, but you know what I'm saying? I lost my dad when I was 10. So when I meet someone who's lost a parent, I'm like, I've been through that.
Right.
You know, you do get past it, but that person doesn't want to hear about your stories. They want to say, this is about my dad that I lost.
Yeah.
So is there a right and wrong way to do this?
It's so tricky because when you say, I lost my dad when I was 10, I can relate to what you're going through. You're not making this a contest. That is not your intent, clearly, right? But sometimes when somebody's loss is new, they feel like, oh, you're making this
about you.
You're making this your story and you're making it about you. Why don't we make this about me? So, you know, in the immediate aftermath of a loss, I think it's important to kind of focus on that person and that person's stories. That said, some people will say, I find comfort in hearing that, you know, like somebody else has been through it and has made it through it and you can make it through it. So there is no hard and fast rule here. What I hear from people more than anything else is, if you have a question about whether you can ask me something, ask me whether you can ask it. You know, be meta about
idea.
It. And say, you know, like, you know, I've got a story about my dad. I lost him when I was 10. If you want to hear it, great. If you want to talk about it another time, that's fine too. You know, because one thing about losing somebody, and I talked to a family recently who lost somebody tragically, and they said, suddenly we're supposed to be loss and grief experts. We don't know what we're supposed to do here, you know, any
That's
more than
point.
Anybody else, right? And so when people say, you know, like, should we do this? We're often like, I don't know. You know, like, I have no idea what the right thing to do is, but go ahead, you know. So don't presume that just because somebody lost somebody that they know what to do, because by and large, they do not. I mean, part of the reason we have rituals, wakes and funerals and all this, all these other trappings around it, is that nobody really knows what to do. So we create structure that allows, you know, at least some format for how to interact.
And everybody reacts differently to it and goes through the process at different times.
You can never even tell who's going to be affected in a dramatic way, right? So you would almost think like, oh, immediate family and then close friends. And as the ripples and the circles go further out from the person who was lost, you'd think like, oh, well, you're less affected way out there on the edges. That's not always the case. I often find like if a there have been a couple of teenagers in our town who have passed away. And I often find that it's somebody who barely knew that person or didn't know that person at all who is deeply affected for one of a number of reasons. It could be like, boy, I thought about, you know, like I've been thinking about my own mortality lately, or I lost a parent, or it's just something that's on my mind that I'm afraid of. So you can't presume you know who's going to be affected and how they're going to be affected. So sometimes at a wake, the family is surprised at who seems relatively unaffected, who seems like they ought to be affected. You know, boy, the uncle's not affected, but this kid who's 9 degrees out
is
seems
very
deeply
affected.
Yeah.
Jim is online too and wants to talk to us. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
We're good. You lost your wife?
5 years ago. And I always put a small picture of her in my cubicle. I take it out of my briefcase. And this one woman, she says, Jim, you got to get over it. It's been 5 years. You don't need to put that. And I have it there because it makes me feel better, you know. And
then that's all that matters, right?
And I looked at her like with my mouth open, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it anyone else's right to say how long or how you need to grieve, John?
There was a woman, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, about 50 years ago, who came up with these stages of grief. And they seemed linear. There were five of them. I've never, ever known a single person who went through those stages in any linear way. And Jim, to your point, if that brings you some comfort every day of your life for the rest of your life, that is your business. And that does not suggest you're not living your life or moving on. It might mean you want to keep your wife alive in your memory. You want to be able to see her image every day, and that brings you some comfort. In mild defense of your coworker, she probably comes at it from the best of intentions, right? Like, you know, oh, you're wallowing in something and it's been over for 5 years. Oftentimes people... go ahead.
Another woman came after and said, I can't believe she said that.
Well, I do understand that for sure. But I do stand by what Wendy's saying. You know, it's nobody's business how you grieve or how long you grieve. And oftentimes when you lose somebody that close, grieving is a lifelong process. And we kind of, as a populace, we want to be able to tie everything up in a nice, neat bow. Grief doesn't work that way. And so, you know, if this is your way of working through it, coping with it, and if it brings you some degree of comfort just to have her there and have that image there, I totally get that.
Willie Nelson has a song out called You Never Get Over It, You Live Through It. So you never get over it.
All hail King
King Willie.
Nelson.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. No, that's true, Jim. I agree.
Jim, thanks for the call.
Thank you. All right. Have a nice holiday.
Yeah. Again, I'm not defending this woman, but I'm sure in her mind it's, how can a guy like Jim get along and meet somebody else if
right.
he keeps looking at a picture of his...
None of her business.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
Maybe right. he never will meet someone.
Right.
Maybe he has no desire to.
Yeah,
true.
Everyone's
true.
Different.
Right. And it might be a better approach to talk to him about it. Ask him about it. You know, so I notice there's a picture of your wife here every day. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
You know, and Jim, somebody in Jim's position might love to tell some stories, you know, and that might really be kind of healing for him. But it is his call, how he handles that.
No question.
You know, so it's probably better to ask than to tell, right? Because
yep.
telling presumes you know better.
Yep. Dr. John Duffy's book, The Available Parent, is available wherever books are sold. You can hear him here on WGN quite often through the holiday season, especially, right? When's your next assignment?
Yeah, so I will be on Friday night at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1 with Paul Farvar doing the WGN Nightside thing.
Excellent. You filled in for us. He's going to be taking our job pretty soon.
Any moment.
Interesting. Yep. You can also listen to his podcast, Better, that he co-hosts with his wife, Julie. You can find it on WGN Plus and wherever your favorite podcasts are found. Good luck to you.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. We'll take a break.
He'll be in for us tomorrow,
yeah,
it seems.
How about that? All right, a break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill left, it's Wendy Snyder. I'm going to throw a word out to you that I didn't even know existed until 30 seconds ago. Kidrepreneur.
What?
Kidrepreneur.
Never
it's
heard
like
of it.
It's like an entrepreneur, but it's a kid. Alina Morris joins us right now by way of the telephone. She is a kidrepreneur. Alina, how are you? Am I saying your name right? I hope I am.
Yes, of course. I'm great. How are you?
Couldn't be better. A little jealous of your success, Alina. I got to be honest with you. You're currently 13 years old, correct?
Yes.
But when you were six, you had an idea. Tell everybody what your idea was.
Yeah, so basically I went to the bank with my dad, and the bank teller offered me a lollipop. And my dad always told me that I shouldn't eat candy because sugar is terrible for your teeth. So I asked him, well, why can't we make a healthy lollipop that's good for my teeth so I can have candy and it wouldn't be bad for me? Then after about 2 years of research and plant trials, we finally created Zollipop.
You did this at the age of six. You were smart enough to figure out that, as your dad mentioned, candy's not the best thing in the world for you, and there's got to be a way around it. At six, you were doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it was a simple idea.
For you, not for most people.
Well, just the idea that why can't you have something that tastes good, but is also good for you?
Right.
I knew that I wasn't obviously the first person to think about that, because I'm sure people every day think, well, why can't there be something that tastes good and is good for you?
Right.
So I just decided to do some research and act on it because it was something that I was really passionate about, you know, helping people and also working in business, two things that I was very passionate about from a young age. And so it was the perfect excuse to eat a lot of candy and get to do what I love.
All right. So when you say you did a lot of research, keep in mind you were 6 years old at that time. What sort of research were you doing exactly?
Well, the research basically consisted of me Googling things, watching YouTube videos on how to make hard candy, and then also just looking at statistics. I used a couple different websites. Like I use Amazon to see different trends in the market. And then I also just talked to my dentist and my dental hygienist because they obviously were professionals in the industry of cleaning your teeth. Yeah. So I figured they were the perfect people that I would reach out to and ask them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, they're called Zolli Pops, Zolli Pops. I am trying one right now, the strawberry flavor. The Clean Teeth Pops, sugar-free, gluten-free, nut-free, vegan, dairy-free, natural flavors and colors, the after-you-eat treat for a healthy smile, kid-created, mom-approved.
Mm.
They're good.
I can't believe there's no sugar in this. It has so much flavor, I'm shocked that there's no sugar in these.
Yeah, and it did take about 2 years to develop the product itself, and it just took a lot of trial and error finding the flavors, the colors, because not only were we working with ingredients that had to be, like, allergen-free and that were all natural, but we were also working with xylitol and erythritol, which have to be treated very carefully when being used. And
because
so,
why? What happens if you're not careful when you use xylitol? What happens?
Well, you have to be careful with the amounts that you put in.
Oh.
Because if you use a lot of xylitol, it can give you a stomach ache and things like that. But with Zolli Pops, we only use a very, very small amount, but we have amazing results with cleaning your teeth and long-lasting results.
All right, Alina Morris is on the line with us. She's 13. God, these are so good.
So good.
Founder and kidpreneur of Zolli Pops. Where did the name come from?
So I actually didn't come up with the name. My little sister Lola did. She was about 5 at the time when we were trying to come up with the name. And, you know, we were all sitting around the dinner table and we were talking about it. And I was considering calling it the Xylitol Lollipop because we're definitely different than other lollipops because of the fact that we have xylitol and erythritol in our pops and that we're sugar-free. So I asked my sister, I said, Lola, would you like to try a xylitol lollipop? And she said, you mean a Zolli Pop? And I was like, that's exactly what
wow.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
It's perfect.
I know you're at school right now. Jasmine just informed us, so we kind of have to be quick. But how exactly does this help prevent cavities?
So Zolli Pops actually naturally raise the pH in your mouth. They neutralize the acid and actually strengthen your tooth enamel. So it takes away the bacteria that causes cavities and tooth decay to grow.
That's amazing. I'm so shocked by this. What sort of help were your parents giving you on this? You mentioned your dad was with you that first time in the bank. So as a 6-year-old, when you're saying, hey, we got to do something about it, what exactly was he doing? How was he helping out?
Well, at first, I was very tenacious about it, so I just kept asking when we were going to make them. Mm-hmm. But then he gave me some great advice. He said, go research your idea and also write it down because, you know, writing things down is so important to keep track of things and just really help develop your ideas. And so I created an idea binder, and I wrote down my plan and what I wanted it to look like. And I ironically still have that. And then I did the research, and he helped me along the way find good resources, good websites, and yeah, he's just been a great supporter along the way, along with my mom, who is my personal stylist. she's always helping me with any of my appearances, and you know, she's a mom, so she's always helpful when helping us find new ways to market to
moms.
That's amazing. Because she is one.
And if you feel too old to have a Zolly Pop, there are now Zolly Drops and Zaffy Taffy, which we will... Oh. Where do we find this? Where can we get this? This would make great stocking stuffers.
So we currently sell Zolly Pops and Zaffy Taffy at Walmart. We sell at Kroger. We sell on Amazon.com. We sell in Jewel right there in Chicago, Hy-Vee stores. And we also have a really amazing program for schools. It's called 1 Million Smiles. And basically, teachers, principals can sign up on our website and get free Zolly Pops for their school to teach kids about not only science and STEAM, but also teach kids about entrepreneurship and the importance of an entrepreneur's mindset and always being driven to work hard.
And I know you don't like to pat yourself on the back, Alina, but you're running, this is a multi-million dollar company, isn't it?
Cover girl of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Yep.
Yes, but we're a profit-based organization. So 1 Million Smiles is our nonprofit, and we give 10% of all of our profits to support oral health education in schools.
Wow.
So it's not about the profit. It's not about it's not about us. It's not about making money. It's about reinvesting so that we can help more kids smile, help more people smile, because tooth decay is actually the single greatest epidemic facing kids in America today. And that's our mission. We just want to help more people smile.
Wow.
Get back to school, will you? You're not successful enough.
Alina, just so you know, when I was your age, I sat in the basement and my parents gave me a potato to play with. That's the difference between you and me.
Congratulations. It is such a an honor to meet you. Alina Morse, founder and kidpreneur of Zolly Pops. You can go to zollypops.com, find out all the information. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. She has not good luck. It's all skill. It's all skill.
Would you like a Zaffy Taffy?
Yeah, I'll take a Zaffy Taffy.
Good.
So
I took grape.
She comes up with this at the age of 6, and her parents go, yeah, do some research, and she does, and it is a multi-million dollar business that she's running, and she's 13.
I can't even believe it.
I thought she was like 30 when I first started hearing her talk. I mean, she's so impressive.
Yeah. Okay. I can't believe it.
I have nothing to show for my life.
You have Zaffy Taffy.
It's really good. I'm anxious for you to try it.
Yeah. So they just take names of existing candies and put a Z at the beginning.
Well, kind of. And some of the natural flavorings are grape juice, because you can taste the grape juice.
Yeah, it's very prevalent.
There's beetroot juice, turmeric, which is supposed to be so good for you. It's an anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Grape juice extract, excuse me, natural flavors, stevia. And you can find it, as she mentioned, Zolly Pops are available at Walmart in the toothbrush aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Kroger brand stores in the natural food aisle, Amazon.com as well.
I'm not kidding. A ton of flavor. Like when I first read about this, I go, it's going to taste like chalk. It doesn't. It tastes like grape. It's really good.
If you're good, I'll give you a Zolly drop
later. I'll be good.
Later.
I want one. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. During your David Hochberg read right there, you said you have to be 61 and a half for that to take place. Why is that? Why do you have to be 61 and a half?
That's what the law says.
The law cuts it in a half now?
I think so.
That's crazy. Well, come.
Maybe because it's 62 and up, and if you go at 61 and a half by the time you're finished with every... I don't know.
Is that right?
Why are you asking me?
I'm just curious.
Hochberg.
I've never heard of a age restriction at 61 and a half. It just seems a little abstract.
That's the senior citizen deal.
Is it? You got to be 61 and a half?
Although it's...
Not 65?
It's really weird because there are some... we've talked about this on the air.
There was a store that was offering you a discount and you didn't want to take it.
No, I took it. I don't care.
What was the
place? It was White Castle.
Was it White Castle? Yeah.
I actually asked them. I said, is there a senior discount? Because I read online that it was 55 and up.
Yeah.
And I'm on the 55.
Yeah.
And I'm not and up yet. but soon.
But you're right there on the 55-yard line there.
Yes, and I said, you know, is there a senior discount? And the kid is like, yeah, it's 55 and up. And I said, oh, that would be me. And I said, do you need to see my license? And he said, no. And that one
hurt. Wow. That was his polite way of saying, just seeing you is convincing enough.
Or just thank you. Anyone who's going to ask for it. I
here's
don't know.
10 cents off on your onion rings, Grandma Newton. Wow.
But there are various places that, you know, it's all over the board. Like some is 50 and up, some is 55 and up. And this, I guess, for a reverse mortgage, you have to be 61
and
a half.
It just doesn't it be honest. You would think that the cutoff would be on the eight, like on
60
the
and up.
Yeah. I'd never heard of anyone that did on a half before. Because what person in their 60s, you go, how old? You look great. How old are you? I'm 61 and a half. It seems like something a kid would do, you know, when you're 4 and a half or
right.
5 and a half. Once you get in your 60s, the half usually is a non-factor.
I'm still going to do it when I'm 60. You know I'm
good.
Going
I
to.
I bet you will. Good.
Because I don't, you know, that's, once I turn 60, that's going to... I know how you were on the cusp of turning 50. You really were
very
like,
upsetting.
Don't bring up my birthday.
Yeah.
Don't get me anything. Don't talk about it.
Yeah.
But you didn't really feel any different after you turned 50. It was just the apprehension of turning 50, right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to be like pre-60?
You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it.
I can't believe we're this old.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I swear to God, I think I'm still 32.
Yeah, well,
I don't know
wrong.
Why that age,
you're
but 32. I'm just going to stay 32.
Oh, all right.
O.J. Simpson's number.
Yeah, it worked well for him.